Hi, this is Jack Healy in a new podcast. On this podcast, I hope I get across the story of three young people who taught me a lot. Let me begin with the one in Rome in about 1969-1970. I just left the priesthood and was hunting for a job, and I got it at Freedom from Hunger. I was very happy about it, and the guy who left Hamilton, the job, went off to be the deputy director of Earth Day, so that was a nice change, really, for me and for him. And within a month or so, I ended up in Rome at the Food Agriculture Organization in a smallish meeting of about 20 to 30 basically young people. I had just turned 30 years old, and I was new to it all. I loved getting to Rome. I was at a meeting behind a USA, sign. It was amazing to me. I was so new. I didn't even know where some people came from, so I had to buy a map at lunchtime to see where they came from. And we didn't have geography in the seminary, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, this young kid there by the name of Jorge, let's call him Jorge, I don't remember his real name, but he was from Brazil, and he was a bright kid, and he was one of the sort of the leaders of the pack that were in the meeting. And it was said by a Mr. Judd, who was, I think, from the British Parliament, was the chair, and he says that this meeting was confidential to this meeting. So we all went on with the meeting and everybody agreed. And then about on the second or third day of the meeting, towards the end of it, a secretary for some reason walks in, hands me a note. I don't know why me. I don't have a clue. And it says this meeting is being heard throughout the building. So I bring that to the Chairman Judd's attention and demand that there be immediate review of this. And first he was kind of upset, but then, he agreed this was a violation. And so a stir occurred, and the head of, actually the head of the whole head, I think his name was Boerma, B-O-E-R-M-A, I think he was Dutch. He came down to apologize, and actually was in the room and apologized and said this will be turned off, but it broke the confidentiality thing that they had told us, and he was apologetic about that. And then, just quickly and quietly, this Brazilian kid that I call Jorge, he was about, 18 or 20, he stood up and said, "Sir, much of this has already been heard through the building," he said, "but if I get back to Brazil, and I am executed, I want you to know that my blood is on this organization." And it was amazing to me. It was like, boy, truth to power. This is what it's about. So it awoke me in a new way. I became clear on disappearances in Latin America and Brazil in particular. But that was to grow as years went on, as I did human rights work. Disappearance became a bigger and bigger issue as time went on. I don't know whatever happened to him. Hopefully nothing. But it was an awakening. Another awakening was when Bob Peterson, of who's now in Madison, Wisconsin. I think he's on the council of the school board out there now. Very bright young man. He was 16 at the time. He was the leader of our Madison Walk for Development, which raised a lot of money for Falimo hospitals in Tanzania, for Fannie Lou Hamer's operations in Mississippi. He was 16 years old. Amazing young man. Anyway, I lead a delegation to Rome again, this time for the World Food Conference. And of course, the World Food Conference is a lot of grain dealers trying to control everything there. Kind of state, and agriculture is a state kind of operation. We were kind of anomaly there, but we had about 12 American leaders from the Young World Development that was doing the Walks for Development, which was 28 miles, and we raised between 1969 and 73, 74, we raised probably about $12 to $15 million for world hunger, including in the United States as well as around the world. And Bob was one of our leaders without question, very bright 16-year-old. And we tapped the high schools, which nobody has done since. We knew that if your kid is in high school and doing good, the parents will give money to anything they do. If they're in college, they're already paying a small fortune to have their kid there, so they don't give much money. So we tapped into the high schools and made it work. We turned out 301 walks for development across the United States in 4 years. So Bob was one of our leaders, and they asked him to speak. He came up and asked me, "Jack," he said, "do you want me to speak?" I said, "Sure, Bob, just speak slowly." So he got up and he gave this speech how the United States stole the land from the red man and then stole the black man from Africa and put the stolen black man on the stolen red land and created the United States. Well, the place went crazy on after that speech, and after it was over, Bob got offers to go to other countries to live. They were afraid for him, all that kind of thing. The Republican administration, I think it was under Earl Butz, I think, was the chair. He blamed me for writing, and I told him I'm not smart enough to write that speech. I'm not that far along yet, but Bob again brought truth to power. The third one was a neighbor of his in Madison, Wisconsin. Her name was Debbie Sweet, a very bright woman, and a great activist, really, and still is to this day. She was awarded a White House something or another medal for young people and for doing the Walk for Development, for Freedom from Hunger, for what I was doing, Young World Development. And we were in Washington. We got invited. Her parents wanted her to receive the award. Debbie wasn't much for it, but because we were anti-war people. And Debbie said to me, "You know, I think my parents want this, so I'll just go and keep quiet and get the award and try and make this work if we can." I said, "Okay, I'll go along." So her parents and I, we went through the Justice Department, then over to the White House. Sure enough, a lot of folks in the room. Eventually, some of those senators and congressmen went to jail. There was a whole mess of them in there, but J. Edgar Hoover was there. And it was quite a scene for me. I couldn't believe it. This is about 1972, I think, at this time. And so Richard Nixon comes in, believe it or not. He starts putting medals on people, and very nice young people, would save people from fires and rivers and stuff like that. And he gets to Debbie. And for some reason, he turns aside before he gives her the medal or pins it on her. He says, "The good kids are in here, and the bad kids are out on the street." And he turned back to put the medal on Debbie, and she looked at him straight in the eye and said, "Sir, I cannot trust you until you end the war in Vietnam." And with that, he jerks back, rattled deeply, and actually ran out of the room. And I, to this day, I still wonder how, if you can't handle a 16-year-old, how you can handle a Vietnam War. But that actually happened. And later, we'd be hit pretty hard by Freedom from Hunger. The L.A. Times ran an article against us that we were sort of ripping off money in L.A., which we weren't. We won in court very quickly after that, but that kind of bad press wiped us out in the West Coast. We probably lost a million or two for world hunger. And I was audited during my priesthood days, where I wrote the Archdiocese to see what I actually made, because I was a Franciscan priest within the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and I was paid $200 a month. That was my top pay, so I don't think they could have audited me for much, but I ended up paying $300. Anyway, they forced me to do that. I don't know what it was about, but that's our experience with the White House. And all three of these wonderful people, one about 18, Bob was about 16, I think Debbie was 17 or 18. They truly told truth to power. And for me, as someone who just left the priesthood looking to do a job in the world and what I could do to help, these gave me great direction. This is Jack Healy, and very proud of our three stories today. And I hope the Brazilian is still roaming around Brazil causing trouble. And all the best. Thank you, Jack Healy.